الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. On one occasion, there was a woman who came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And she asked if it was okay if someone were to pretend to have received something with the notion that somebody else could be teased through that. It's a little vague, I'm going to give some examples, but essentially she asked the question, can I pretend to receive something knowing that I would just do so to tease another person? And the Prophet ﷺ, he made a famous statement from which the scholars gather many different principles, some of which we'll discuss today. And that statement was as follows, أَلْمُتَشَبِّعُ بِمَا لَمْ يُعْطَى, the one who pretends with that which they were not given, the one who pretends or assumes that which was not given, كَلَابِسِ ثَوْبَي زُور, is like the one who wears two garments of falsehood. So let's put the pieces together. Person comes to the Prophet ﷺ, asks the question, can I pretend to have received something that I didn't receive? Now the intent here is to pretend in order to tease another person. But can I pretend to receive something that I haven't received? Can I pretend to, for example, be someone that I haven't, or receive something that I haven't received? And the Prophet ﷺ, he responds that the one who pretends with something that they have not been given is like the one who wears two garments of falsehood. Is like the one who wears two garments of falsehood. Now from this narration, we can learn a lot, and the scholars have elucidated many different principles, and I think it's worth reflecting on because we really live in a world today where there's a lot of people, including ourselves, presuming that we are something or have something that we may not necessarily have. Now, the example that the woman who came before the Prophet ﷺ raised is very straightforward. She wanted to pretend that she received a gift from someone when she actually haven't received that gift, in order that a third party would feel teased by that. So this was the specific scenario. But let's take it out of that scenario and be a little broad, because the scholars are actually very broad when they comment on this. I think you don't have to go very far in today's world to see that there's a lot of pretending of certain things in order to show the world what another person might have. For example, you know, in today's world, you go on the internet and the whole thing is a show. People want to show that they have a perfect life. So for example, they'll snap all these pictures as if they're constantly on vacation. Or they'll snap these pictures as if everything is always perfect. Or they'll snap these pictures as if they have all these things. Although they may have it in an instant, they make it as if they're having this throughout their lives, as if it's continuous, as if it's constant, when it's not real life. And those people, they often do this because they get caught up in an environment where they feel the need to show everyone that everything is perfect. Because that's what their fans want to see. That's what their followers want to see. That's what the people who are quote-unquote close to them want to see. But what they don't realize is that in the process, they fall under this circumstance of ending up in layers of falsehood. Where the Prophet ﷺ was more explicit and actually said, it's two layers of falsehood, as if they clothed themselves in two layers of falsehood. And by the way, this isn't something new to the time of the internet. It's just that the internet and social media has just made this thing very, very prevalent. But I mean, you know, I mean, you all can relate. I mean, sometimes you'll bump into a person, they want to make their marriage look so perfect that they'll just constantly tell you, oh, this perfect thing happened to me and that perfect thing happened to me and we went here and we had this perfect circumstance and everything seems to be working out in the most perfect way. They'll put on this image as if every single thing is perfect. And they're purposely doing so. Now, the reason that they do this, I mean, I'm not saying that they're evil or malignant people. I'm just saying that the reason that they do this is because they feel the need to put off an impression in front of people, but the reality is that impression doesn't exist. I mean, I think everybody in this room can relate that sometimes there'll be a couple and they'll kind of put off that they have this perfect marriage, or there'll be an individual, they'll put off that they have this perfect life, and then, I don't know, 10 years later, you find out that, oh my God, this guy was in complete debt and he's drowning in debt and he's bankrupt, or you find out that, subhanAllah, these two people who seemingly had this perfect fairy tale life are all of a sudden ending up divorced. And you start scratching your head and say, well, wait a minute, wasn't that like the picture perfect circumstance? But the reality is that often people have this tendency, and it's part nafs, part shaitan, people have this tendency to want to portray things as if they're perfect, to want to portray things other than how they actually are, with this idea that by doing so, they'll create this impression amongst the people around them. Now, that used to exist on a very small scale. I mean, I remember this even when I was younger, when the social media wasn't the phenomenon that it is today, and the internet wasn't nearly as big as it is today, and cell phones were something relatively new. You would always have this. You would have this within every community, a group of people or a subset of people or a handful of people that would like to make everything always look perfect. But now that we live in this internet era, and particularly where social media has made our own lives entertainment, I think that's very important to appreciate. Social media, it essentially takes our lives. What's the product in social media? Right? Everybody's selling something. Everybody thinks, I signed up, I got free account. I got free access to TikTok. I got free access to Twitter. There's no such thing as free. Something is being sold. Nobody just goes to work in the morning for free. How are these companies making money? The product is us. The product is our lives. Instead of hiring an actor and an actress to put on a show and then people watch it and then the advertisers pay, they turn us into the actors and actresses. Our own families, our own lives, we become the entertainment. And then the advertisers come in the middle and they get the opportunity to advertise, and that's how the money is made. But essentially, we become the product. And when we become the product, we get sucked into this culture. And when we get sucked into this culture, we start looking at what other people are doing, and we start thinking that we also need to put ourselves out there as if we're certain we're X, Y, or Z, when the reality is that none of that is even true. Life isn't just perfect. Life isn't a bed of roses. Life has its ups, and life also has its downs. But we want to make it look like everything is perfect. We're taking the perfect pictures and putting them online. We're taking the perfect scenarios and showing them to the world and making it as if something is that actually isn't really there. Now, interestingly, look at what the Prophet ﷺ is saying about this type of circumstance. And we should really ask ourselves on many, many levels whether we fall under this, whether we fall under this example. But look what the Prophet ﷺ says. He gives the example. He says, the person who acts as if they have something that they don't have, a person who acts as if they have something that they don't have, what's the consequence? Kalabisi thawbay zur. They are like the ones who wear two garments of falsehood. Now, think about this for a minute. What is actually being said? First of all, just think about the analogy or the example being given, the comparison being made. So first of all, they're like what? They're like the people who wear garments of falsehood. We'll talk about two garments of falsehood in a moment. But generally speaking, they're like people who wear garments of falsehood. What does that mean? It means that when people take on these types of roles where they act like they have something that they don't really have, it becomes continuous in their lives to have to live up to it. That falsehood becomes like a piece of clothing. Clothing is usually something that a person wears that's continuously on their body, that's closely attached to them, that is constantly covering them. So when a person gets caught up in this type of circumstance, they put on a garment of falsehood. And that garment of falsehood envelops them and becomes continuously attached to them and associated with them. So that this type of circumstance, this isn't a one-off. This doesn't just happen and then disappear. It becomes something that overtakes the person. It becomes a type of falsehood that covers and envelops the person. Then furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ was even more specific. He said that the one who pretends with that which they were not given, ma lam yu'ta, it's kalabisi thawbayzur, two garments of falsehood. Why two garments of falsehood? The scholars, they comment. They say the reason it's two garments of falsehood is because there's two layers of falsehood in that circumstance. Layer number one, they're putting out falsehood in the public around the world. Now, I mean, not around the world, but in this circumstance, let's give you an example. I'm acting like I have the perfect life. I'm just telling everybody that everything's perfect all the time, and I'm broadcasting that and trying to, you know, show to everybody that I live a certain way, okay? And let's pretend that I'm, you know, it's not behooving of me to do that. I haven't been given that. Then what I'm doing is I'm deceiving the public, or I'm deceiving my employer, or I'm deceiving my friends, or I'm deceiving my community, or I'm deceiving the person that I'm trying to trick, correct? So this is falsehood number one. I've deceived a bunch of people. What's falsehood number two? Where's the second falsehood? The second falsehood is that I'm deceiving myself. When I start going down this path, I end up believing it over time because these things become habitual, they become perpetual. I start creating a deception within myself that becomes very difficult to break. And honestly, often people who have this habit, which by the way, we all have this habit, so we're not here to point fingers. I'm going to talk about this in a minute. We all have this habit. What ends up happening is that this becomes a very slippery slope. Everything that we show, now we need to live up to it, so we need to do the next thing and the next thing and the next thing to show, to continuously establish and perpetuate this falsehood. So in the end, the one who is acting in a way that, or acts as if they've been given something that they weren't actually given, the Prophet ﷺ is saying that they wear two garments of falsehood. One, the deception that they show to the world. And two, the deception that they show to themselves. They've actually deceived themselves. Now, one example of this is just what we all experience in our everyday lives. But we're all challenged with this on a continuous basis. This is one of the diseases of the heart. We're all challenged with this on a continuous basis. For example, I mean, just think about it. You know, so many examples come up in life. Sometimes we're talking with a bunch of people and we start saying things that we haven't really done. But we want people to think that we did them. We start saying things about where we've gone. But we haven't really gone there but we want people to think that we went there. We start saying that we know certain people, or we've met certain people, or we have a connection with certain people, but we don't have a connection with them, but we just want people to feel or respect us in a certain way. And everyone can appreciate that challenge. We all experience it. Now, does it come, you know, for some people it's daily. For some people it's in a certain circumstance. For example, I apply to law school, or I apply to engineering school, or I apply to med school, and now I'm starting to write things in my application, or I'm applying for a job, and now I'm starting to write things in my application that I've never done. Why? Because I want to give people the impression that I've done a certain thing when I actually haven't been given the ability to do that thing. Allah has never granted me the opportunity to do that thing. I don't have that degree. I haven't studied in that place. I've never read those books. I've never done that thing. But I feel very comfortable creating an aura of accomplishment when that accomplishment doesn't really exist. So this is a simple example. People face this all the time. They put down things in their resumes that don't really exist. They put down things in applications that don't really exist. They say things to others that never really occurred. All with a hope of trying to raise themselves and establish a reality which is actually false. So that's one example. Another example, people do this, for example, at the time of marriage. You know, two parties will meet, and then they'll hype up, one person will hype themselves up, or their families will hype themselves up, or make this person out to be something that they aren't. And the scholars, when they discuss this, they provide so many different examples. So many different examples. Another example, people will act as if they have certain knowledge that they have no knowledge of. I mean, look at today. Everybody feels that they can speak about anything. And I look at these things and, you know, sometimes I would just wonder, okay, maybe they know, maybe they don't know. But now, like, I see this happening even in my own field, right? And when I see this happening in my own field, then I can actually say these people don't know what they're talking about whatsoever. You know, just as an example, in medicine, you know, now because this virus has become so prevalent, I mean, usually people don't stand up and start talking medicine. So, you know, you can very quickly say, okay, maybe this doesn't happen as often in medicine. But now you have all these people thinking that they can all comment on a vaccine. And I'm not commenting on the vaccine, but I'm just saying what's shocking to me, whether you take the vaccine or not, that's a different story, and that may even be a personal decision. And every decision in life always has positives and negatives and pros and cons. Okay? But what's shocking to me is that everybody and their sister and their brother is all talking about, you know, data, statistics, and vaccines as if they have some sort of degrees in, you know, in molecular biology. I'm just wondering, how can it be that people are just talking so freely and speaking as if they have some sort of knowledge? They'll quote one random study here, they quote one random study there, as if they have knowledge about these things. But in essence, they don't know anything about this topic. They don't understand how a vaccine works. They don't understand the immune system. They don't understand all of the data that goes into deriving whether these things are beneficial or not and what the actual risk factors are. They don't understand the complexity of all of the different scenarios that underlie, you know, these types of studies. This is all just layers and layers of falsehood. All layers and layers of falsehood. And you find this in so many different domains. People crossing their lane. For example, just as another example, you know, a lot of people presume that because they have professional degree A, that makes them professionals in everything else that exists. For example, because I'm a doctor, now I'm also a professional in, I don't know, fiqh, right? So automatically, because I'm qualified as an engineer, because I'm qualified as a doctor, because I'm qualified as a lawyer, now I automatically know all of the intricacies of deen. And I can stand up and I can make rulings and I can say what should be done and what shouldn't be done. And obviously I don't have those qualifications. And in every other thing in life, if it came to me, I would never allow a non-qualified person to enter my domain. For example, you know, if I'm sick, I'm not going to go ask a random person on the street what I should take for my illness or to diagnose me with what disease I have. Why am I not going to ask them? Because they're not qualified. When it comes to me and needing to get a correct opinion on what's going on with my illness, I'm ready to line up. And not only that, I call doctors and I ask them who's the best doctor. Then I'm very particular. Right, then I'm very particular because now it's me, it's myself, it's important, it's my family member. So they'll call and they'll say, who's the best doctor in this field? Where's the best place? I'll go anywhere in the world, just tell me what I have to do. But when it comes to commenting on so many other things, the same person will feel that they're qualified as if they've been given the knowledge to comment on A, B, C. You know, sit down and comment on some aspect of deen or sit down and comment on some aspect of politics. Politics is the most common example. Everybody's a political scientist. So long as you can read the New York Times, you become a political scientist. We don't appreciate that in order to speak, you have to have some sort of qualifications. To comment on something, we have to have qualifications. To make decisions in any particular domain, a person needs to be qualified. And unless people respect and appreciate that those qualifications are necessary, all that happens is that utter chaos is confused. Utter chaos is created. Confusion is just spread. So people who are not qualified to speak about religion speak about religion. People who are not qualified to speak about education are speaking about education. I mean, look, just as an example, you know, we've made an assumption, and I'm not saying that this is absolutely negative, but I'm just saying we've made an assumption that just because a person is a doctor or a lawyer, they automatically know how to run a school. So in the community, you know, often you have doctors and lawyers who are running Islamic schools. Now, I understand that the reason that they do so is because of the limited resources that the community has, and they don't have all the people necessary in education in order to be able to develop those curriculums and all of the different issues related to a school. But the reality is that that group of people should begin to seek and search for qualified individuals in order to fulfill that need. And they should recognize where their limitations lie. But often we get confused and we think that just because I'm qualified in A, that makes me qualified in everything other than A as well. So this is a very, very common problem that exists in society today, and you see it everywhere. And now it's become so prevalent that everybody can speak about anything, and it doesn't matter who they are. They can comment, and they have following, and the louder the comment, the more the following, even if they have no knowledge about what they're speaking. And by the way, this applies to everybody. You know, for example, a poor person should not put on the show that they're wealthy. Like the scholars say, a poor person should not put on the show that they're wealthy. And a wealthy person should not put on the show that they haven't been given much. And you see this as well. People will purposely pretend in front of everybody that they don't have too much, but they pile up money in their account, and the reason they don't want people to know what they have is because they're afraid. People will start asking me, can I borrow this? Can I borrow that? My brother will ask me for money. The community might ask me to help me with the masjid. So like when it comes to portraying themselves publicly, they'll, you know, act as if they don't have much. But actually they're just piling up the funds in their bank account. It's just a common theme. This is just a common generality that the Prophet ﷺ is highlighting here. But the reality is that we should be continuously fearful of ever trying to act like what we're not. This is something that should be always in the back of the mind of the believer. This statement, al-mutashabbi'u bima lam yu'ta, it's worth memorizing. It's worth memorizing. Al-mutashabbi'u bima lam yu'ta, the one who acts with that which they have not been given, the one who pretends to have received that which they have not been given, kalabisi thobe zur, is like the one who wears two garments of falsehood. They deceive others, and they deceive themselves. Now, at the highest level, this hadith is also commented on by the people who are trying to achieve deen. Because look, in the end, we all are somewhat pretending to be something that we aren't. You know, it's really easy to throw on a thobe and to walk in the masjid standing tall. And when you come in, you know, people should shake your hand, right? That's really easy to do, to put on a hijab or put on a thobe and come into the masjid. That's something that's relatively easy to do. But the question is that what we've really been given? And that's a question that is a personal question that we should ask ourselves. Like, are we reflecting our deen the way we should? Are we worshiping Allah the way we should? Are we devoting ourselves and committing ourselves the way we should? And if we're not, we should apply this hadith to ourselves. We should think that we're acting with something that we haven't been given. Now, of course, I want to take a step back here. The scholars say that a person should try to emulate as much of deen as possible, because when they emulate deen, in the end, what happens is it slowly internalizes. So that if a person sits with people of piety and acts like a person of piety, then eventually inside will also become pious. So I'm not saying that people shouldn't make an effort towards following the sunnah, following the various requirements of deen. Yes, we should all make that effort. But what I am saying is we should always remain humble. We should always have a degree of humility. We should ask ourselves whether we're portraying what we really have inside. Is our character in accordance with our deen? is the way that we behave when we're alone in accordance with how we behave when we're in public? Is what we do late at night in the darkness of our rooms the same as what we do in the broad daylight in the openness of public? These are the questions that a person of piety is constantly asking themselves. They're constantly trying to square this away. And by the way, this is not a sign only of the person of piety. This is a general sign of excellence. Who asks themselves if they fail the test? There's two people. The one who really failed, actually, no, those people have so much confidence that they never think they failed. The person who truly asks the question if they fail the test is usually the best person in the class. The one who generally gets a high score will always think that they fail the test. Why? Because they are always holding themselves to the highest, most exacting standards. The one who actually, you know how you know somebody has knowledge? When they finally recognize that they don't know that much. You know, I sit with people who literally, they're like the world's famous experts in certain things, and they themselves will describe that, like, at the beginning, I thought I knew everything, and then after, you know, 10, 15 years of practice, that's when I began to realize that I actually don't know anything. And there's a progression that occurs where you really begin to recognize that, wait a minute, this is really complex, and there's a lot of diversity in this subject. And even as the expert of the world, I only know a tiny bit. That's the true sign of knowledge, where a person recognizes the limitations of who they are. And that's also the true sign of belief. Go through the Quran. It's the believers that are crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking for his forgiveness. It's the believers that are waking up in the middle of the night, asking Allah to forgive them. Why? Why the believers? It should be the sinners who are doing that. Why are the pious waking up in the middle of the night and asking Allah for forgiveness? Because they recognize that although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a cloud around them that benefits them, that allows people to respect them, they know the reality of themselves. They hold themselves to a very high and exacting standard. Now, how are we ever going to get to that if we're caught up in the foolishness of posting what we eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and posting every perfect picture of, you know, me and my wife and I, my husband and I, we're perfect, and we're just shooting these pictures every other day and posting them on the world? The question is never even going to arise, how can I improve? The question is never going to arise, what can I do to be better? Because we're so busy, caught up in trying to portray a world that doesn't even exist. And the person who tries to portray a world that doesn't exist has to spend all their energy and effort trying to convince everybody that that world does exist. All the energy goes into trying to continuously convince others that the world is actually something other than what it really is, that reality is something other than what it really is. So if we're caught up at that level where we're ready to comment on whatever we want, we don't even ask the question if we're qualified, we make everything look perfect, we're not ready to look at ourselves in the mirror and say what's really up, then if we're caught up there, how are we ever going to rise to the level of excellence where we're even afraid to give an answer for a question that we know? You know the famous story, and I apologize if I misquote this because I'm talking off the top of my head. So the famous story of Imam Malik, I think, you know, approximately, that Imam Malik, you know, famous scholar of our deen, and very, very well known for his opinions in fiqh, a group of individuals came from far away, to ask questions of Imam Malik. And before they left, you know, this was the months-long journey that they took. Before they left, they compiled a bunch of questions from the people where they lived. They came to Imam Malik, and they started asking questions of Imam Malik. So Imam Malik, as he's being asked the questions, for the vast majority of questions, what was the answer? I don't know. Next question. 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 He gives an answer. So most of the questions, the answer was, I don't know. So the person who was asking the questions says, what do you want me to tell the people? We just traveled for months telling the people that we were going to go to the great Imam Malik, and we were going to put our questions before Imam Malik, and people have an expectation. What should we tell the people? So what was the response? He said, tell the people. Imam Malik doesn't know.
Be straight.
Imam Malik, who is basically like the establisher of one of the madhabs, you know, the founder of one of the madhabs of our fiqh, is saying he doesn't know for so many questions. And nowadays, we're ready to answer everything with some answer or another when we don't even know what we're talking about. That's the reality of the people of piety. They're always looking inward. They're asking the question, who am I? They recognize their limitations. And by the way, that's not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of excellence. When the doctor says to you, you know, you ask the doctor, well, what's the prognosis? A true doctor is not going to say to you, here, I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen. The true doctor is going to say, we don't know. We don't know. Here's the data. Some people this happens. Some people that happens. We don't have the answer. But I can just give you basic information, and it'll help to guide you along in trying to decide what type of treatment you need. That's a sign of excellence. That's a sign of a good doctor. When they tell you, I don't know the answer to this, we don't know the answer to this, science hasn't taken us there yet, we don't have that information, but here are some probabilities. I can give you some vague percentages. This is the type of characteristic that the true believer will have concerning their faith and how they portray themselves to the rest of the world. We're trying to portray ourselves to everyone as if we're people of piety. Look at what I've achieved. Look at what I know. Look at who I sit with. Look at where I've been. Look at the clothes that I wear. Look at the way that I act. But what's the reality? The reality is something other than what we portray ourselves to be. It's much better. Now, what's the consequence, by the way? What's the consequence of all of this? The consequence of all of this is none other than continuous layers of falsehood and darkness that envelop us and as a community and then humanity as a whole. There's no happiness in all of this, you know, this false reality that's been created on the online world, in our communities, and, you know, outside. There's no happiness in that. Instead, it's just layers of falsehood being wrapped around that just create darkness upon darkness in our souls, in our communities, and in the broader world. Because the Prophet ﷺ is establishing himself, the one who puts on these shows, كَلَّابِسِ ثَوْبَيْ زُورِ, is like the one who wears two garments of falsehood. One, they close their eyes to their own reality. How will they ever improve? How will they ever make the adjustments that they need to make in life? And two, it just creates layers and layers and layers of falsehood amongst everybody present in the world around them. How is humanity going to advance in this way? But put humanity aside, because we're not here to criticize anyone. How are we going to achieve our goals? How are we going to achieve our goals? As a believer, the number one criteria is we always look in the mirror. And we identify who we are in truth. And it's only after we identify who we are in truth, not what the people tell me, not what my friends tell me, not what the other people in the community presume me to be, not what the people in the masjid think when they come and shake my hand, but no, me alone, by myself, when I'm looking at myself, I look in the mirror and I'm true with myself. Why? Why is that so important? Because that day is coming where we're not going to be able to avoid that circumstance. Are we not going to be in the grave one day and all the truth is going to come out? Is not all of our deeds going to be revealed? Is not the reality behind our intention for everything that we did going to be recorded? We're going to be facing the grave. It wouldn't matter. Let's say it didn't matter. We just went, you know, it was just this life. We just played games and we just went in the grave and it was all over. Fine, no problem. Go on social media, create layers and layers of vanity. You know, pretend in front of the people, speak openly about any topic, and don't worry about whether we have knowledge about it or not. None of it would matter anyway, because the whole thing would just be another layer of darkness and false reality in an already false reality. But we know that this world is not a false reality. We know that there is a reality. That's the problem, that this world is real to the extent that everything that we do is recorded. And not only that, but the intention behind it is known. And how we presented ourselves is going to be shown. So because we have that reality, we can't escape and say, okay, it doesn't matter. It does matter. It does matter. We are going to be held to a standard. And we have to hold ourselves to that standard today before that standard is held to us in the grave. So that means that we have to get away from the chaos of the world. Look, if I'm participating in this constantly, like I said, the problem is you never wake up if you create a false world. If we create a false world, then we live in that world. We never wake up. We never ask the real questions. Instead, we should cut ourselves from that. We should spend the time necessary to do self-reflection, to ask the simple questions, who am I? Who am I? Am I consistent? Is what I say I am actually who I am? Does my character match what people think of me? Does the fact that I walk into the masjid and people smile and shake my hands, does that reflect the truth of the state of my heart? Because what's going to happen on the day of judgment? Nobody even has to have their record before them. You could do simply one test. You can take people's hearts, squeeze their hearts, and see what comes out. You know, my sheikh used to say, if you want to know your own state, just look at your heart, pretend you're squeezing it into a cup. If you squeeze it and all this darkness and filth and garbage comes out, then that's a whole different state of reality than if you were to squeeze it and Quran and purity and goodness were to come out. You know, it's like you want to know what's in an orange? Squeeze it and you'll see the juice, the juice basically tells you what's the reality of that fruit. So we want to know what's in our hearts. It's the same way. This circumstance, you know, it's easy to criticize the world and say people speak about what they shouldn't be speaking about. People act how they shouldn't be acting. People create a false reality. But let's put all that aside for a minute. That's not the purpose of this talk. The purpose of this talk is to recognize that we ourselves, we put on a show. And if we want to avoid the falseness associated with that show, then we have to ask ourselves real questions. Is who I pretend to be consistent with who I am? Is my character consistent with that? Is the way I behave when nobody else is watching consistent with that? Am I acting like Mr. Piety in the masjid, but then when I'm at home, I'm beating on my family members? Am I acting like Mr. Piety in the masjid, but when it comes to financial transactions, I don't care, I'm ready to cheat and deceive people? You know, it's like I said at the very beginning, it's easy to put on the thobe. It's easy to put on a cap. Maybe it's a little harder to grow a beard, but people can do that nowadays as well. It's very hard to rectify character. Allah tests people through that. When a person claims deen and says, hey, I'm a person who wants to develop myself in deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't test them by asking them a bunch of fiqh questions. That's not the test in life. The hardest tests come in the most simple of circumstances. The hardest tests come in the most simple of circumstances. Even the alim is not going to be tested, hey, can you quote me this text or that text? The hardest tests come when a person has to be honest in a very simple circumstance. You know, you borrowed your friend's car and you scratched it on the way out. Now when you come back, it's a brand new car. Do you tell your friend or not? It's easy to just hide it and say, oh, well, he's never going to see it. Let it go. But do you tell your friend or not? These simple kind of tests that arise in life, these are the hardest challenges. And it's easy, like I said, it's easy to act very pious in front of people in the world. You want to know the truth about people's piety? Or forget about other people. We want to know the truth about our own piety? Ask our spouses. Let a husband ask their wife, and let a wife ask their husband. Ask our children. Ask our children to describe us. Are we yelling and screaming at home? And then when we come to the masjid, you know, we have peace signs up in front of everyone? Is that the reality? Then we're just basically putting on a show in front of the world. Now, if a person recognizes this, makes tawbah, continuously tries to improve themselves, then they're not wearing those false garments that were described in this hadith. But if a person ignores it and just says it doesn't matter, and then, you know, generally what they do is they create this false notion, like the reason that I beat on my spouse is because my spouse is like this. If I was married to, the perfect person, then everything would be great. But that's not life. That's not life. There's never an excuse to cross certain boundaries. So we are people who are always trying to pursue the reality of who we claim to be. We're not here to put on a show for the world. We're here to recognize that we will be judged and that everything that we did is being recorded and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take us to account for each of our deeds and that the greatest standard of who we are comes in the most simple of interactions with others. Not the ones in public, the ones in private. How do I behave with my spouse? How do I behave with my children? How do I behave in the darkness of my room in the middle of the night? These are the places where iman is revealed. These are the places where we're tested. And these are the ones that are easy to ignore. These are the ones that we want to sweep underneath the rug. But these are actually the ones that we should be recognizing ourselves through. So again, the Prophet ﷺ, like I said, this is very much worth just embedding in our minds. This is a narration that all of us should memorize. And we should regularly reflect on this. Al-mutashabbi'u mima lam yuqta, the one who acts with that which they have not been given, the one who pretends with that which they have not been given, kalabisi thawbay zur, is like the one who wears two garments of falsehood. Two garments of falsehood mean what? Those garments are close to them. They envelop them. They lock them in a state of falsehood. And why two? Because one layer of falsehood that they establish in their own minds, thinking that they are who they are, and another layer, the deception that they create in the world around them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to appreciate the reality that exists within ourselves, and may He make us amongst those who are continuously striving in order to be able to attain perfection in our faith. وَآخِرُ الدَّعْوَانَ أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ